Bibles, and turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but this man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. And they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of the Lord, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers, and given unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again, and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And it went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by day and night, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Our subject today, the urgency of salvation. Salvation is the sinner and the Lord coming together in reconciliation and peace. Before this takes place, the individual has to be awakened to a special sense of urgency and fear, or that person continues to procrastinate and delay his coming to Christ. Now, this urgency and fear is brought upon them by the Lord God of heaven. It's known in the Scripture as the effectual call. And today, we're going to show you why there's a special urgency incumbent upon you at this hour to come to Christ right now. Our lesson falls into three simple categories. First of all, David is a picture or type of the second coming of Christ. Secondly, we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the individual. And then thirdly, the urgency of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour. Now, beloved, whether or not you believe it, the Lord God of heaven is coming back. Our Lord Jesus was born in the manger, or I should say, he was born on the stable floor, laid in the manger. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and we find every year this is recognized, and the world admits to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my Lord came the first time. He came to die. He's coming the second time, and it's portrayed for us in the Old Testament by David. David here is a picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in 1 Samuel 25 and verses 28 through 30, we find that David is coming as God's anointed king. Notice carefully, if you will, this is brought out very clearly. He's coming as God's anointed king. And we find that Abigail recognized that David was the Lord's anointed king, and she said so in 1 Samuel 25 and verses 25, or 28, I should say, down through verse 30. In verse 28, she said, I pray thee forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. And then in verse 30, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee. Now David was coming here as God's anointed king. The second thing about David is this. He was coming to exact vengeance upon the wicked. Beloved, that is true at this hour. My Lord came as a lowly Savior the first time. He was known as the lowly Nazarene. He rode upon a mule, a sign of his humility. But when he comes the second time, he's going to come riding upon a white horse. And he's coming as God's anointed king. And he's also coming to exact vengeance upon the wicked. This is brought out in verse 21. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain unto him by the morning light any man-child. And we find this is David's intent. He's coming here to exact vengeance upon the wicked. Now my Lord's going to do the very same thing. You see, the Lord Jesus is not always known as the lowly Nazarene. No, sir, he's the King of Glory. He's the sovereign God of the universe. And before him, every knee is going to bow. And rest assured of one thing. When my Lord comes back the second time, he's coming to exact vengeance upon the wicked. This is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verses 7 through 9, where we read, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Our Lord is coming back. My friend, are you ready to meet him? If you don't know what I'm talking about, I hope that before this year draws to a close, you'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The third thing about David was this. He was coming unexpectedly. Notice carefully, we find that Nabal had no concern whatever. He had no sense of what, at all that David was coming. In verses 12 and 13, so David's young men turned their way and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. My Lord is coming. He's coming as God's anointed king. He's coming to exact vengeance upon the wicked. He's coming also unexpectedly. He warns us of this in Luke chapter 12. And we find in verse 39 and 40, the Word of God says this very clearly. Listen to it. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And my friend, I want to tell you this. My Lord could come back today. Did you know that? Oh, I urge you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you get ready to meet him, because he's coming. And when he comes, he's coming as God's anointed king. He's coming to exact vengeance upon the wicked, and he's coming unexpectedly. Now, as we look at the second thing in this chapter, we find also that there's the work here of God the Holy Spirit. Notice carefully, if you will, there are five things that takes place when God works in the heart of a sinner. In verses 14 through 18, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on him. Then in verse 18, Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Notice carefully, here you have the true work of God the Holy Spirit set forth. Now what did he do? First of all, he spread anxiety and concern in the heart of Abigail. Abigail knew that there was a judgment going to fall upon that household. She learned it from the servant. And we find when a sinner is awakened by the Lord God of heaven, that sinner knows that the judgment of God is going to fall upon him. And he's informed of that by the servant of the Lord, who's known very clearly as God the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God to do this. And when he gives to us the reality of the judgment of God falling upon our hearts, rest assured of one thing. He spreads anxiety and concern within the heart. This is set forth all through the Word of God. Then the second thing he does is this. He separates the individual from everyone else. Notice in verse 19, But she told not her servant Nabal. Now this throws out of the kilter the idea, the common theory today, that individuals can be saved together. My friend, you can. When God deals with your soul, rest assured of one thing. You're going to travel that road of grace alone. Nobody can go with you but God the Holy Spirit. Your relatives can't go. Your friends can't go. Your pastor can't go. Your deacons can't go. Your church can't go. You're going to travel that route alone. And you'll be filled with an anxiety and concern. And you'll have to be separated from everyone else. Then the third thing is this. We find she prostrated herself before David in repentance. Notice again, if you will, in 1 Samuel 25 and verses 23 through 25, where we read, And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Here we see she prostrated herself before King David in repentance. And in like manner, a sinner will prostrate himself before the Lord God of heaven in repentance. Abigail called him Lord, and yet she wasn't redeemed or spared by David. In like manner, a sinner will acknowledge the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ before he gets saved. Abigail also knew that she stood at David's disposal, that David could save her or have her put to death. And in like manner, a sinner does the same thing when God begins to deal with his heart. You see, he prostrates himself before the Lord God of heaven, and we find he cries out for forgiveness, as Abigail did. She said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. And Abigail knew that David didn't have to listen to her. It would be sheer grace and sheer mercy if David would pay any attention to her. And in like manner, it's the same thing with regard to the sinner. The sinner in the work of the Holy Spirit, the sinner, we find, is separated from every individual. And the sinner is prostrated before King David, or before King Jesus, I should say, in repentance. And he's crying out for the Lord God of heaven to have mercy upon him. But listen, he does all this and he's still not converted. A lot of people today, they have the idea that because the Lord has begun a good work in him, in them, they're saved right then and there. No, my friend, Abigail was not saved by David until he personally spoke to her and gave her a pardon. Notice, we find it falls in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And notice very carefully, if you will, in verse 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Now what did Abigail have to go on? She had a pardon personally given to her by King David. Notice, it was the word of the king. We find a sinner today has only the word of God to go on. Christ is the object of our faith. The Lord, the word of God gives us the assurance of our faith. And we have the word of God given to us that the Lord God of heaven has pardoned us personally. It's the word of the king given to the sinner. Secondly, there was the removal of judgment. Again, we find in 1 Samuel chapter 25, and notice carefully, if you will, in verse 20. Notice what it says. Here Abigail was crying out, and she said these words. And as she rode on the ass, she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met him. And then in verse 35, David said, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And what you have here, you have the removal of judgment. In like manner, it's fulfilled in the New Testament, where our Lord says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and how true it is. Oh, my friend today, I wonder, have you heard the word of God? When you believe in Christ, you are removed from the judgment, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then last of all, in verse 40, down through verse 42, we find that later on Abigail was presented to David as her bride. Now let's look at the urgency of coming to Christ in this closing moment, if we may. We find here, it may be the only opportunity given you. Nabal had one opportunity. He refused to obey what David had said unto him. And we find later on, he was killed. We find the smiting of Nabal is a warning. In verse 37, came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. Now notice, the judgment of God came after 10 days, and God was glorified in both examples. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour? Oh, my radio friend, if you don't, my hope is that you'll turn to the Lord. Even now, turn to him before it's too late, and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner. Oh, may you do so now, is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message, and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.